Welcome in to a Friday edition of the Daily Tap. It is June 15th. Happy Friday, Tappers. And what will be a warm Milwaukee weekend. Hope you guys are all doing well. It is the end of the week. Your boy got a half day at work celebrating Pat and Christina this evening. Congratulations to the both of them on their upcoming marriage. Podcast will be running all weekend. We'll have something on Saturday, talking Brewers, Phillies, as well as who knows what else. And then your boy, Consultant Murph, in the building on Sunday to talk U.S. Open. I am going to be doing Father's Day stuff. Murph being in West Palm, he's going to be seeing his pops. Shout out to Fred Murphy. Later on this month, he's like, I'm not doing anything. I might as well do the podcast. I'm like, yes. Do the podcast. I love it. Love the emotion. Also love when people follow Snowtap WI. You could do it on Facebook. You could do it on Twitter. You could do it on Instagram. It does not matter. But whichever way you do it, we appreciate it. Also, Snowtap WI, it is a website. It is the alternative source for Wisconsin sports. And then subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, the whole shebang. We're excited. I'm fired up. It feels good. I slept a bunch last night, so I am feeling spunky, if you will, on a Friday. No working out, which is killing me. I haven't been able to work out all week, and I weighed myself just to kind of keep myself, you know, knowing that this is kind of a fraud week and all whatever. But I'm like, all right, I need to work out while I'm, you know, I can't just not work out. So that was just proof in the pudding. It's a combination thing, folks. It's the working out with the eating healthy. So all that, let's go. John Heyman wrote an article yesterday, basically a column saying that the New York Mets need to trade Jacob DeGrom, that the Mets are floundering. The Mets are in a complete free-for-all. They lost again last night to the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Mets have been one of the worst teams in baseball probably for the last 30 days or so. And Heyman basically outlines that they need to trade Jacob DeGrom, that Jacob DeGrom would be a start of a rebuild and they'd get a ton back and they'd be able to rebuild this Mets roster. And the Mets, in a way, remind me of a better version of the 2014 Milwaukee Brewers, where they had a bunch of old guys and they wanted to make a run, and or 2015, I should say, excuse me. And then it all fell apart, and it was just a mess from the start. For the Mets, they actually started out really hot. They were like 13-3 to begin the year, and then the bottom fell out. You have a new manager. It makes sense to kind of rid this team is Drubal Cabrera, Jay Bruce, who just signed a deal, Todd Frazier, Jacob DeGrom, Noah Syndergaard could be on the block. I mean, they have guys who could all potentially be dealt. I mean, Seth Lugo, Robbie Gesellman have been really good pitchers in the bullpen. So bullpen arms potentially for contenders. I mean, the Mets should open themselves up for business, but DeGrom is the big piece. He has 2.5 years of control left. He is a top 10 pitcher in baseball. And so the question is how do you bring him to Milwaukee? How is he a Milwaukee Brewer? Because you would think that the Chicago Cubs, you would think that the St. Louis Cardinals, you would think that the New York Yankees, and a countless amount of others will be looking towards DeGrom and figuring out how do you offer a big enough package to get this supreme pitcher, a Cy Young worthy pitcher. DeGrom's been an absolute freak. The Mets are 2-8 in his last 10 starts, but he has a under 1 ERA. He has a 0.87 ERA in those games. Jacob DeGrom has been simply filthy. So now the question is, are you okay with trading Keston Hira for Jacob DeGrom? Because that's where it comes down to. There's no way that DeGrom will be a Milwaukee Brewer without Hira going to the New York Mets. And I've previously said on this podcast and on Tabbing the Keg that Hira is off the board, that Hira is an untradeable asset. Jacob DeGrom is about, I would say, in that upper echelon of guys you do sell the farm for. Because he, yes, he is a pitcher. Yes, there are complications with pitchers. But the guy is a proven just Cy Young. I mean, he is a frontline pitcher. He is an ace. He is every 5 days DeGrom is up and you're like, I need to see this. And you look at what the Brewers rotation could be. Say they were able to find a package that they were able to keep either Corbin Burnes or Freddie Peralta next year. I don't think you could keep both. You probably have to trade one of them to the Mets. You have a lineup, or you have a rotation of DeGrom, Jimmy Nelson, Freddie Peralta, Chase Anderson, Julius Chacin, and oh, by the way, Junior Guerra, who's been pretty good this year as well, he's also in the mix. So you have an amazing rotation next year. Probably Freddie Peralta is the one who's competing with Junior Guerra. But here nor there. I mean, you have a fantastic rotation, and you really, DeGrom is maybe the guy that you sell the franchise, you know, you sell the prospects for. Because I don't think you do it for a guy like, say, JT Realmuto, who's going to be a hot name that's going to be considered. I think if you're going to make deals that don't involve Huerta, it's just valued players. And as someone mentioned, I saw there was some Q&A going back and forth. The Brewers need some Seth McClung, Jerry Harrison types, right? From that 2011, 2008 teams. And McClung wasn't 2011, where you just have the sort of those scrappy, gritty, off-the-bench guys. And I think the Brewers do need to continue to retool and reform their bench because Eric Sogard isn't getting it done. Orlando Arcia, I think, will be in Triple A for most of the season unless his swing gets fixed. I think Domingo Santana might be even. I mean, I don't know. I think that the Brewers might bring those guys back up in September, especially like Arcia. I think Arcia maybe should stay down there the whole summer until they really see improvement that everything is fixed. Because, you know, and you can bring him back up when the roster expands, and he would be a valued defender when you're chasing a pennant because he's a guy that could come in the seventh and eighth inning, but you need to get him consistent at bats. So, yes, they could add other guys. They could definitely add other players, but to get the top upper echelon names that will be thrown around, Huerta has to be mentioned. I thought that my man Bobby, a.k.a. Bobblehead Bobby, brought up an interesting trade proposal that was Phillips, Domingo Santana, Luis Ortiz, Peralta. He threw out, it could have been any of those guys, for Manny Machado and Dylan Bundy. So basically get the rental of Machado, but then also get a couple of years of Dylan Bundy, who's beginning to show signs that he could be an ace, and the Orioles are in even a worse position than the New York Mets, where they have only won 17 games this year. They're in complete free-for-all. They need to just retool as quick as they can. And now, I don't know if they have the management to do it. Their front office is dumber than a box of rocks. But that, to me, is another way around to go, is you get a high-valued rental with a pitcher who has a couple years left. You know, I think I was thinking about DeGrom too, and I'm like, if you really wanted to expand this, you get his Drubal Cabrera in the mix as well, who's been a pretty solid hitter for the New York Mets all season. He's a strong lefty for this team, and his Drubal would definitely be added to that mix of guys. I really think that there's a definite possibility there. So I think Jacob DeGrom is the one guy that you do make the Huerta deal for. I think Huerta is off the table for so many other things, but if Jacob DeGrom is really going to be dangled out into the open market, David Stearns is crafty enough, David Stearns is smart enough that he will try at least. He will not go down without a fight, especially if the Cubs and Cardinals are contending for DeGrom's services, because I do think the Cubs would. And I think it's a situation where you understand that he's a top pitcher. Huerta's a top hitter. Huerta could probably be in the big leagues at the August, September. That's a sneaky little, like, this guy could end up being a bench player for a postseason run. And it's a really exciting. It's a really exciting thought, and I think it's a legitimate thought. You look at what he's doing in Double A. He had his first walk-off homer, first home run in Double A. He's a stud, man. He's really a good player. And so this would definitely help out the Milwaukee Brewers if they do end up making a major move. That would be a major move. I don't know if there will be other moves, but we'll have conversations about what the Brewers do at the trade deadline literally for the next 6 weeks. I mean, that's going to be a hot topic of conversation. Rumors are going to come and go. We'll try our best to wrangle them all in. Moving forward to another baseball topic, baseball has been hot this week for us, just given all the stuff going on. Make sure you listen to Tapping the Keg last night. It's a lot of fun. We talked about Terry Collins and this mystery. We did a Mystery Science Theater rant, basically, overlaying our voices with whatever Terry Collins was saying. A lot of fun. I have fun doing that every time. Major League Baseball basically administered a statement saying, "We're very unhappy this got leaked. This should have never got leaked. It was an agreement." As Pete Blackburn said of CBS Sports, "Their asses are in the jackpot now." One of the greatest quotes that I think we'll ever get out of something of that nature. I really hope Mitch got that drop or we can find that video still, because we do need "our asses are in the jackpot now." Because let me tell you, our asses may be in the jackpot because we played the whole video in audio form. I don't know. Is baseball going to suspend Snow Tap? I mean, great publicity. Like we said yesterday about some other things, any publicity for us is good publicity. We'll take it. Like if Major League Baseball wants to be mad at us, go ahead. Welcome in. I'll welcome you right to it. But I think this whole thing is a larger why baseball is failing. And it's a huge, they're just losing the culture war. They're losing this generation. They're losing my generation. They're losing Generation Z because they pull funny videos and they don't interact and engage or let people post content because they draw such a hard line with it. And it is the opposite of the NBA. The NBA is full of memes. The NBA has different things come up. I mean, their NBA Twitter is its own thing. It was its own hashtag. I would never think of having a baseball Twitter hashtag. Baseball Twitter isn't a thing. There are a lot of nerds. There are people who tell people they're too big of nerds. There's nothing wrong with being very analytical, but some people are so analytical, it's annoying. It's like the people who only drink like one kind of IPA. "Oh, I only drink a hazy New England IPA, not a West Coast IPA." Those are people who just look at stats, who don't look at other things that involve baseball. Then there's also the people who think analytics are fucking stupid. And those people, I guess, would be your Coors Light beer drinkers, where it's like, "I just drink Coors and Bud. I don't know any problem with your fucking nice West Coast IPA. Fuck that." No, you have to have a balance. That's why we can do both. And that's why you can drink craft beer, you can drink domestic beer. That's kind of how I go with the analytic and non-analytic baseball community. But that's a problem right there. Attendance is down 7%. Manfred said, "Oh, it's the cold." And now weather's gotten better. People aren't showing up. People have to get real. I saw the Washington Redskins fully admit that they didn't have a wait list for season tickets. The Redskins apparently they've said that they've had a wait list for season tickets since 1997. And it was a complete fucking lie, which is an amazing lie in the first place. I mean, to hold a lie for like 20 plus years and then they say, it's not a thing, is wild. But they owned it. And then they said, "Hey, look, we have a season ticket problem. We're going to cut concession stands and stuff by 25%. Teams have got to get creative. Now, the Brewers are 10th in baseball right now with ticket prices. And by the way, for those who are snarky, Kurt Hogg pointed this out. Shout out to Kurt. Great Twitter follow if you don't follow him. He's at Kurt with a Y, Hogg. Follow him. Make sure you do that. He is fantastic. But he mentioned they would still be 10th if the Cubs series wasn't even a thing, which is perfect.
because that just shows that it is about Brewer fans, not about the Cubs fans infiltrating. But that's another story for another time. Baseball has got to figure it out. I will say this. I went to Miller Park. Granted, I did not pay for my ticket on Tuesday, but I didn't spend, you know, I think we got three beers in total, probably spent, and they were both tall boys, and spent, you know what, $16 or $24, I guess, on beers, and that was it. And you know, if you have a couple of buddies, somebody buys a round, I mean, it is not that expensive to go to Miller Park, and that's part of the reason I think people come back to Miller Park and people go with their families, because Miller Park is damn affordable. And I think the Bucks, I mean, they have a lot to learn from that. I realize that they have half the arena size, so I have to charge more for tickets. But when you look at concession stands and you look at other things around the arena, it should not be that expensive to go to a game. And it should not be like a, you know, I don't know, $150, $200 experience unless you make it that. So baseball has to do that across the league. Orioles games should be $20 flat fee. I believe if the Orioles were, let's say, the lower bowl was flat at $50, and they said $50 to get into the diamond level, $35 to get into the next level, $20 to get into that level, and oh, certain games the upper deck will be free, but against like the Yankees, the Red Sox, you know, a couple others, it's going to be $10. Because you don't want, like, all to be Boston. Although, I think right now that's probably what you get. You get all probably 80% Red Sox fans, 80% Yankees fans when they're in town. So I think you have to start looking at flat fees. And I think you have to start looking at days. You have to start looking at promotions. You just have to assess it at all. I would say baseball is in a legit crisis situation. I really do. I think baseball I'd always said if they keep their attendance up, things will be okay. But now that their attendance is slipping, we already know the ratings are a mess. Baseball has got to do something. They have to make the ballpark fun. They have to do that. And I get that Manfred wants to do things like take away some of the nuances of baseball. I think adding a DH in the National League is something that has to happen. I really do. Because I think it would make games go quicker. I think you would not have as much strategy, and that does suck. But I do think that there would be more situations where National League pitchers would pitch longer, and you would not have some of that situational baseball, but it still would help expedite the game. And guys not being allowed to take a timeout during a pitcher's rotation, you know, little things. And they have to do those. They have to find a way to make these games three-hour affairs at most, or 3.5-hour affairs at most, because more and more people do not have the time, unfortunately. And you're seeing it with football, too. And that's why football needs to find a way to get their game shorter. I think they are making strides, but more and more people need those Sundays to do errands and to do other things. So it's a really fascinating topic, just across the board. I did want to shout out Graham Mertz. I wrote about it. Stone Type WI. It's a website. But I think the fact that Graham Mertz decided to completely shut down his recruitment and stay at Wisconsin is a huge win for Paul Christ and his team. If you look at his 24/7 sports profile, the guy has offers from legitimately everyone. Legitimately every major program in America wanted Mertz to come to their program. Notre Dame, Alabama, Georgia, LSU. I mean, the list goes on. Oregon. I mean, it was literally everyone. And he's like, you know what? I'm staying at Wisconsin. I'm shutting down my recruitment. I am a Badger. This is it. He's like, I need to focus on the season. He's like, I don't want to deal with phone calls from Nick Saban at 4 a.m. like, hey, Graham, are you working? Are you doing well? We just want to let you know we're thinking about you. But I do want to also say, looking at like a top recruit's mentions after something like that is maybe one of the weirdest, creepiest things that you can do, because you have like, well, as a Scarlet and Gray fan, I hate to see you go, but I wish you the best. And if you change your mind, you know where to go. Like, wow, what the fuck, dude? Like, I just want to meet these people. Like, I think that's an amazing, like, profile story. And I, maybe someone has done it, like, to go and try to, like, DM these people who tweet at recruits and be like, so, like, what's your day-to-day like? Do you have these recruits in, like, a tweet deck form? Like, how does this, like, be a thing? As a Husker, I'm sad to see you go, but wish you the best. Just fucking weird, man. Why the fuck do you care? I mean, it matters. It's a story, but, like, why would you tweet at a high schooler? That's just creepy. I don't know, man. It's just strange. It is probably the strangest thing on Twitter. To be honest, it is. Well, there is like a full furry community on Twitter. So I guess that it's like number two then. Like, this is the furry community of sports. All right, guys. Well, it's been a long Friday pod. Hope you guys enjoyed it. We didn't talk anything about golf. Shinnecock, I don't know what's going on right now. It's 7 o'clock as we tape this. The Shinnecock may be eating the players again. I mean, the scores yesterday were just outrageous, but we'll try to fit in some Shinnecock discussion after. I'm sure many notable players will miss the cut for Saturday. So we'll talk about that. We'll review what happens with the Brewers and Phillies tonight, and who knows what else will come on a summer Friday. Always seem like there's some news that just kind of drops out of thin air. All right, guys, take care. Snow Tap, follow us on everything. Love you guys. Take care. Bye.